Lord. Last week, especially Friday and Saturday, I was, how many know what it is to struggle with something that God's laid on your heart? I have to say something this morning, and I'd just like to say that we are a Pentecostal church. How many of you know what that means? That means we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues and the operation of the gifts. That's what it is. We've gone one step later. Now, I don't put any other churches down that don't believe. They just have not gone far enough in their walk with the Lord. But I will tell you this, that I love Jesus, and if it wasn't for Jesus Christ and accepting Him, I wouldn't have become a candidate for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I became a candidate when I received Jesus Christ into my life. But that does not mean that I have to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit to get to heaven. The Scripture tells me I need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. When I have that relationship, but the Holy Spirit gives us a power that we don't have in our own selves, in our own ability. And not only that, but the gifts of the Spirit are for edification. The gifts are for edification of the body of Christ and can only be operated by the Spirit, not by man. Man don't operate the gifts of the Spirit. And that's not my message for this morning. And that's something that's on my heart. I like to say I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in His Spirit, and I speak in tongues. That's who I am. And you know what? If you don't like it, I ain't going to say what I will tell you to tell you, but if you don't like it, that's not my problem. Because when you come to this church, I believe that's who we are. That's who we are. And you know, when I first got saved in a Pentecostal church, the first service I went into, I think God was shaking me up. The Holy Spirit came down to that church. They were dancing. They were speaking in tongues. Messages were given. And you know, I came out of a normal church. That scared me. I was looking for the door to escape. But it didn't happen. And I was asked, where are we going to church this next Sunday? I said, well, we'll go back to the church of God. And I'll tell you what, ever since, God's had His hook in my mouth. I realized there was something more than what I had before. Something more, something greater. And I'm telling you, we need to be praying. We need to be praying for a mighty anointing on our pastor and on this church. And let me say this. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, don't get upset and don't think you're an outcast. You're not. Because when I first got saved, I sat in the church, and I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. But I desired it. I seen people getting excited, and I thought, I'd like to dance like that. Didn't realize that it was the Holy Spirit doing them. I seen Sister... Sister we had in the church in Coolidge. Just get under the Holy Spirit and dance down the aisles with her eyes shut, not bump into a pew, not stumble, not fall. Dance back down along the side and go back in the back. And what a wonderful feeling it is. And I thought, I'd like to dance in the Spirit. Oh, one day the Lord got a hold of me. And somebody asked me afterwards in the service, said, how did you do that? I said, I don't know. I just thought I'd dance down that aisle. And the Holy Spirit got a hold of me. And I'm telling you, I was shouting. They said, well, some people say, it's all fake. It's all fake. I'm going to tell you, it's not fake. And when it tells you to be drunk in the Spirit, I'm telling you, I was preaching one time and the Spirit came down and started to move. And I went to my knees and I rolled from one side to the other side and I couldn't get up. Tony, I was drunk and I could not get up. The Spirit was all over me. And I'm telling you, it's real. It's not fake. God wants to bless His people. He wants to bless. You say, well, I don't want to go up front and have them praying for me. Pray at home. Because I got baptized in the Holy Spirit at my coffee table in my house after I come home off a night shift, reading my Bible, knelt at my coffee table, and started praying. I'm telling you, I got saved at that time. There was an indwelling of the Spirit. But you know where I got baptized, really baptized, with the evidence of me? I was working 500 feet underground in the mines. Laying at lunchtime. Read a book, and the man said, just open your mouth like a little bird in the nest, and he will feel it. And I rolled over my side because I didn't want none of the other guys seeing me. And I went like this. And I started speaking in tongues. I'm telling you, wherever you are, when you desire, your home, your car, wherever you are, God will baptize you if you're open and willing. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of the baptism. It's not His. God will never hurt you or harm you. It'll only lift you up. That's your pre-sermon right there. I want to share in my heart. I think the biggest thing we have, the problem that we're dealing with in our nation and in our churches, is a lot of individuals that pray, but they don't believe in what they're praying. They just say a prayer. We got to believe in what we're asking for. And got to believe that God will answer it. And we got to play according to the Word. He says, don't play amiss. Play according to the Scripture. And we've got to pray according to the Word. But in our prayers, we've got to really open ourselves up to the Lord. And we've got to be really praying for the time right now. And if you want a deeper spiritual relationship with God, and that's our problem. We have a lot of individuals that don't have that deep relationship with God. I want to share a story that refers to me, which I've shared parts of it before. And that is, when I was a young child, at the age of 7 years of age, we moved to the farm. And I was not used to not having indoor plumbing, no bathtub, or running water. But when we moved from the city to the farm, that's what we had. We had an outhouse. How many know what an outhouse is? Yeah. We had an outhouse with a Sears catalog. But time come to pass, my mother was not happy with the situation. So my dad realized there was something he had to be done. He hired a well driller to come in to find water and drill a well. Because all we had was a 40-foot dug well. was had a head pump on it and a bucket of water there that you had to prime it. Tell you what I'm talking about? If you didn't have water there, you couldn't get no water. You had to prime the pump. So your job was when you, after you're done priming, you had to make sure there was water in a bucket there for the next person. My mother didn't like going out to the pump for water. That's how we were on the farm. Well, this guy came in with his drilling rig and everything. He came up with this deal off a peach tree. One up here and two down here. He walked around. What do they call him, a wicket or a widget? Yeah. He walked around with his holding the two little ones and the one sticking up. I asked my dad, I said, Dad, what's he doing? He said, he's looking for water. Yeah, looking for water. Yeah. You know, a kid, you know, yeah, he's looking for water. With that thing. He got up about 4 foot from the house, and that rod went. Phew. He said, right here, Mr. Richie, we'll drill the water. That's where your water is. I said, yeah. Pulled the rig up. He started drilling. That's the way we are. We come to the Lord. We find the Lord. The Holy. We have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We start serving God the best we can at that time with the knowledge that we have. And we get in there and I think, well, we just get started. And we're all, I may remember when you first got saved, how enthusiastic you were about reading your Bible and about praying and about seeking the Lord and finding the things of God and hearing the sermons and all that and being in church. But let me get back to the well. When they drilled the well at 40 foot down, they found water. And the driller said to my dad, do you want to quit there, Mr. Ritchie? My dad said, no, keep going. They went a little bit further and they found more water. And they drilled a 100 foot well. Hit water. I don't know how many times going down. He said, you have a good well. No matter what happens, what comes, you're always going to have water. You know, when your water level gets down, you have to put your pump down a little bit further down in. But anyhow, he said, what's that got to do with us walking with the Lord? That's the way we are. We get the 40-foot well depth, and we say, man, I got it all. I got everything I need. When God wants us to keep on drilling, He wants to keep us go deeper in our walk with God. And that's our problem with our church and the people, individuals. Some of them have not gone deeper as they should. Some of them have not listened to God because they're satisfied where they are. But I don't know about you, but I'm not satisfied. I've been at this almost 50 years now. Yeah, I'm that old. I'm an old fogey from way back. 40-some years in the ministry. But you know what? I still want to know. I still want to go deeper. I still want to go further with the Lord. I want to drill just a little bit deeper. Because, you know, the deeper you drill, the fresher and the cooler the water is. Did you know that? And then another little story I'm going to tell you. And when we were kids, we used to ride our bikes. There was a pipe about yay big, driven right back into the ground. And water ran out of it all the time. And we used to, you ever see them collapsible cups? You see them? We all used to carry one. And we'd get there and we'd open it up and get that fresh, cool spring water. Always running. The Holy Spirit never quits operating in your life. Never does he quit. He works every hour of the day, every minute of the day, every day of the week of the month, every month of the year. He's working in your life if you'll hear him and listen to him. Because he will speak to you. He may speak to you through a book. He may speak to you through the Bible, which he does a lot of times. Or he may speak to you through another person or a message. And you'll say, well, that message was just given for me. And somebody else will say, well, that message was given for me for this or for that. Every message preached hits every individual as the Holy Spirit deals with you for what your need is. Isn't that wonderful? How God operates and how he works. And so, in John 4, verses 7 through 14, I'm going to take this one verse. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou living water? I think of that pipe coming out and the stream flowing, God continuously flowing. Living water. How many of you know you just got to spend time with Jesus? All you got to do is say, Lord, help me. I think of that well driller coming in there with that peach branch. I think about that many times. How the one end sticking up, and when he holds it like this, and it comes down. I think about that as the Holy Spirit flowing from heaven into me and into all parts, the church as individuals, and just coming down and touching our lives. Isn't it wonderful that we can call on him and ask him? And ask him, just ask any question you want to ask. And if you're listening, God will answer. Keep in mind the thought, how deep? How deep does my well go? Or how deep is my experience with God? How deep is it? We seem to be just hitting on the surface of Christianity. Just hitting on the surface. When in essence the Word speaks in depth with phrases such as more abundantly, everlasting life, they shall never perish. These phrases that come forth. An abundant life. He doesn't say abundantly that I'm going to be rich in finances and material things. But what he's talking about, I am going to be abundant. I'm going to be rich in the Spirit. Rich in the Spirit of God. Rich in the love of God. Rich in Jesus Christ. The following phrases will develop an attitude that Christ is trying to portray to the woman at the well. And he's trying to speak to us. Living water. The water that flows forth, representing the Holy Spirit in our lives, is alive. The Holy Spirit is not dead. He's alive. Hallelujah. He's living. You'll never thirst again. He'll never thirst. Do you ever think about that? You'll never thirst. He says you'll never thirst. That's the Lord calling, Tony. Praise God, he says, you'll never thirst. I have to say this. Do you ever think you pick up the phone, the phone ring, you say, hello? I said, this is God. I thought, boy, that would knock you back on your heels, wouldn't it? This is God. I'd probably go, yes, God. Yes, God, what do you want? Jesus is painting a portrait of who we should be in him. Happiness, but joy runs deep, regardless of circumstances. People are At this time, circumstances are closing in on individuals. Their joy is gone. Their peace is gone. They're struggling. They're worried. They have lost hope. And there's people in the body of Christ are the same way. Not just those out in the world. There's people in the body of Christ that are losing hope, saying, God, what's happening? And the hope is we have everlasting life. No matter what happens. If they come in this church tomorrow and shoot every one of us, praise God. If you have that experience with the Lord Jesus Christ and you know Him as your Savior, you're going to go and have a wonderful life with the Lord. Amen. You have that promise. No matter what takes place, you have that promise. First, what about joy? Psalm 16:11 says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy present fullness of joy, at Your right hand there are pleasures for everyone. I thought about that, at Your right hand. Who's sitting at the right hand of God? Jesus. There's pleasures in Him. There's joy in Him. There's love in Him. Everything there is based on Jesus Christ. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in the Word. The coming of the Lord. The coming of Jesus Christ. I think of people that don't understand the 7-year tribulation. People don't understand. I don't know how you believe. I don't know how you believe, but there's pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib. But I believe in pre-trib. That's me. I'm not asking you to believe the way I believe. But I believe God's going to take the church out. That's my belief. And we may go through some hard times. But we need to know what God's Word's telling us. It says the first year, 3.5 years of tribulation are going to be times of peace. The next 3.5 years is going to be here. That's in the middle. And when Satan comes in and declares himself God. And the mark of the beast on your forehead and on your back of your hand. What do I trust? There's people that are going to sway and people that are going to fall to that and receive the mark. And I'm going to tell you this. The Word tells me that anybody who receives the mark of the beast will never be in heaven. They'll never be in heaven. They've made a decision. We need to understand the Word of God, go deeper in the Word than we've ever been before. I've heard people say, well, prophecy isn't for me. I don't want nothing to know about prophecy. You better know a lot about prophecy. Because if you don't make it in the rapture, the word rapture means you're taken away. And yes, that's right. The word rapture isn't in the Bible. But it means you're taken away. And the Bible speaks about that. How every born-again Christian that's walking with God will be taken out when Jesus comes back. And not only will the church be gone, but the Spirit of God will go with it. So what will be the convicting power during tribulation? You see, I'm talking about getting a depth in the Word. Getting into the Word. Understanding what God's Word is saying. Going deeper. Trusting the Holy Spirit to lead you deeper into the Word and what the Word is saying to us. I'm telling you, what I see around me taking place, according to prophecy, things are falling in order. The Antichrist, when he takes over, will take over the whole world. To be a charismatic person. And as I understand reading Hal Lindsey and other books, that he will come out of the old Roman Empire. out of the old Roman Empire, which covers most of your Muslim countries. A lot of people believe he'll be a Muslim that will come forth, accepted by the world, accepted as this great leader who's going to lead us through all the turmoil and all the problems. How far and how deep is your well? How knowledgeable are you of what may come in the days to come? Are you prepared this morning for the rapture of the church? Are you prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ? I don't know when he's coming, but I do know this. I do know this, that he's coming. And how do I know that? Because the Word tells me Jesus is coming back. And I believe the Word. I believe the truth of God's Word. Christ is coming back. I don't know when, but I do know this, that I want to be ready. Are you ready? Are you ready? How deep does your wells go? I'm going to talk about the well of joy, like I said. Joy runs deep. How many of you know that? Joy is a reality in our lives with Christ. The joy of our forgiven sin. What a joy it is to know that my sins are gone. God cannot see my sins. He doesn't know nothing about my sins. If he was standing right here now and I say, God, do you remember when I... He said, I don't remember that. I don't remember what your sins were, because they were covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a clear conscience. Do you have a clear conscience this morning, or is there something bothering you? You need to get right with God. The depth of your spiritual walk. Oh, praise God. I have a place in God's family. I'm part of God's family. What a joy that is, you know, that I just don't have my own biological family, but I have God's family, and I'm part of it. The power and cleansing work of the blood of Jesus Christ. The power to take an individual's life from here and take them to here. Change them. Clear their life. Take away the sin. Change the way they think. Hallelujah. A joy to know. When I was in sin, I had no way to know how to get out of it. But when I met Jesus Christ, hallelujah, I have joy because he wiped away my sins. I couldn't get out of it. I tried to get out of a lot of things that I was doing, but only by the power of God and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, could I get out of it. Took away smoking, drinking, and many other things. God did a work. What a joy. What a joy of the Lord is the church's credentials to the world. You say, what do you mean? That's right, the church. If we have joy with what's going on around us, that's our credentials. The joy of the Lord. Second, Psalm 78 and 38. And he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up his wrath. How many times could God have stirred up his wrath? I'm telling you right now, those protesters, those people that are destroying buildings and burning them down, they don't know what God's wrath is. They have no idea. And I'm going to tell you, they will pay the consequences because they are in sin. You say, well, they have a right to protest. Well, it depends upon who's paying them. Let that sink in. How deep is your walk? I want you to know that Jesus had compassion. In John 11:35, he wept with Mary and Martha. He wept and cried. Luke 19:41, he wept over the city. He cried over the city. He saw them as sheep, not having a shepherd. In Mark 6:34. Compassion is your pain in my heart for someone else. The pain that I feel of what they're going through. Those that are out there in sin, that are in drugs and alcohol, so forth. Pornography. Your pain for them. With the understanding that your pain is that where they're going, they may not make it to heaven. The pain to see your children and your grandchildren walking in sin. That's a pain. And that's compassion. When you pray, you need to pray with compassion. Just think about the Good Samaritan. What he did for that one along the road. That was compassion. Third, will mercy. Mercy, will of mercy and pardon. Psalms 103:8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding plenteously in mercy. Boy, I tell you what, if God didn't have mercy, a lot of us would be in trouble. Amen. So I have the joy of the mercy of God. Mercy, more kindness and justice requires. Kindness beyond what can be claimed or expected. Abundant in pardon, Isaiah 55:7. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have upon him, and he will have upon him and to God, for he will abundantly pardon. So we see that there's many ways we can dig our wells and go deeper with the Lord. Isaiah 55:1-2 says, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Ye come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in its fatness. Well, I guess I've delighted too much. You didn't catch that. Let's go have some refreshments. John 4:13-14. Jesus said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst, not thirst again, but whosoever drinketh this water that I give him, who drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall not thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up in everlasting life. Hallelujah. You see what I'm talking about? Digging your well. Digging your well. Going deeper than what you have ever gone before. We're at a time. I'm going to say this now. Listen. We're at a time that our nation needs the body of Christ. I'm not talking about denominations. I'm talking about every born-again Christian who has been baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. I'm talking about the body of Christ now. We, as the body of Christ, need to be praying, digging our wells deeper than we ever dug before, digging for the power of God. I've been praying for God, send your angels over this country. The gods, paganistic gods of old, are taking over our country. Whether you understand that or not, we are in a spiritual battle. And it's up to you and me and God's people and the body of Christ to pray like we never prayed before. Go to a deeper relationship with God to find out where we are and to give us the power that we need. There's souls out there that are going through this that need salvation. I'm going to say, how many of you ever led? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. But have you ever led someone to the Lord? Have you ever led a person to the Lord? I'm telling you, what a joy that is to lead someone to the Lord. It's a joy to lead someone to the Lord Jesus Christ and to share the good news. There's no time now to water down the Word of God. Now is the time to dig that well deeper, to go further. There is so much more that can be done when we dip into Jesus' well. We can do so much more for the kingdom when the well of Jesus of joy bubbles up and the compassion of Jesus flows out of us. And we realize the mercy and the pardon we receive from Christ. Then there is a refreshing that takes place in our lives. Let us never forget His promise. Let us walk in the truth of His Word. The Word of Paul says, rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. And I think that's what God's telling us. Rejoice in our experience this morning. Allow the Lord to fill us with His fullness. And His fullness is the Spirit of God. I know we're at a point where we can't give an altar call. And we're going to get there soon. I haven't talked to our pastor, but she'll be here next Sunday. And Monday be praying, because I think Joshua comes home. Joshua's is coming home. Her son is getting out of prison and coming home Monday. Be praying for him. Be praying for her, because, you know, he's going to be moving in. And she's had her house all to herself now. But anyhow, there's some great things happening. We can't see them. People were praying all over the world. Seeing where people, one thing I read, whether it's fake or true, there was over 1,000 some Muslims received Jesus Christ and baptized in water. It's happening. God's moving. And I'm telling you, God's moving all over the world. God's moving in our country. He's moving in our nation. We can't see it. We don't know what God's doing. And probably God don't want to tell us, because he'll figure get our finger in there and mess it up. He said, just hold on. Go deeper. Trust me. Have faith. I'm going to bring you through it. We're going to come out the other side. I heard a preacher this morning said, we're going to come out the other side greater than what we went in. How many know when you go through a difficult time and you come out the other side and you look back, you're better off after you come out than when you were in it? Amen? How many times has that happened to you? God's a good God. He loves you. He cares about you. And all He wants you to do is call Him on that royal telephone. Dial up His number. Come before Him in prayer. Talk to Him like you'd talk to anybody. Tell Him about your troubles. He'll listen. Ask questions about things going on. If He wants you to know, He'll tell you. Amen. Anybody have anything to say this morning? Or to share? Yes, Nancy.